Chance Technology, the podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Today, we continue with part two of our matching episode. And this is why next to me, I have our ontology curator, Yahel Appenzeller.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you for joining us again. In the last episode, we were saying that when it comes to skills matching, many, many details need to be considered. One category of information we didn't mention last time is that related to personal characteristics. For instance, information like name, age, nationality, gender, religion, civil status, appearance, etc. And I want to point out that we don't use this kind of data at all. When it comes to matching, what matters are the skills and other purely job-related characteristics we were talking about in the last episode. Personal characteristics are, at best, irrelevant, and at worst, insert bias into the matching process.
True, Laura. Fighting discrimination in the hiring process is a very important matter that we haven't mentioned yet. And it's not just the potential candidates that benefit. Nowadays, businesses and the recruiting industry are placing increased emphasis on company branding to attract talent. At the same time, inclusive hiring strategies have become very important to the public. So deploying bias-free matching in the hiring process puts hiring companies in a very favorable light.
Good point.
And when using AI technology, unbiased, explainable matching is not just a nice to have, it's going to be mandatory in Europe very soon with the upcoming AI Act, which means it'll also be mandatory for any company that operates and recruits globally.
Yes, we had a post on this topic recently, discussing the European Union white paper on artificial intelligence, a European approach to excellence and trust. It is about using artificial intelligence in human resources. I will put the link to that post on our website, gens.technology, and also in the description of this episode. We will be dedicating a podcast episode to this topic soon too.
I'll stay tuned then.
Excellent. And picking up where we left off last time, we were saying that we need to take care not to compare apples with oranges, right, Yahel?
Exactly. Let's look at an example. Say we have a manager who is open-minded, communicative, strong in leadership, and good at solving problems. Without meaningful context for this person's role as a manager, we don't know which industry the potential candidate is in. Retail, construction, finance, clothing, it could be anything. Without more specific information, the candidate would probably match to vacancies in any of those industries, despite each such job most likely requiring specific industry insights or knowledge. There is no relevant experience to put the skills into meaningful context.
So it is not enough to just consider skills. We also have to take experience into account.
Yes, experience is another part of the puzzle. And, by the way, the most complicated entity in terms of matchability. However, adding experience to the mix is still not enough to accurately match people to jobs and applications to positions. As I mentioned in the last episode, there may also be other, let's say, formal requirements like education or licenses, which clearly need to be taken into account as well, but we still need more.
What else is needed?
Personality. Aspects like skills, experience, or informal requirements don't determine whether the new copywriter will fit into the team well, whether the new nurse will arrive at the hospital on time, or the new PR executive will perform well under pressure. A match only becomes truly successful if the applicant's personality is considered too. My resume details a wide range of things I have done, but how I have done them is just as relevant.
So if we take job title, skills, experience, and personality of a candidate into account, do we get the perfect match?
It depends on what you match this against. After all, when you have a perfect match, the skills and personality of a new employee will complement the skills and personalities of co-workers. If I'm the only software engineer in a company, I need to be an all-rounder and take initiative with ease. If I'm hired in a team with two others, one of them more familiar within field X, the other within field Y, both introverts, all need to bring skills that complement and enhance those of the team as a whole. That way, our collaboration can create something completely new.
Oh, that's a big challenge. How is it possible to know the team, if there is one, or the environment where a candidate will be working? It is just not possible, right?
Some clues may be found in the information contained in a job posting, but in general, this data isn't readily available. That's why matching software usually focuses on matching candidates and jobs without taking the team, the environment, etc. into consideration at all. This means you might get the perfect match for the role, but a very poor match for the team or company.
So, can this be fixed? If you are expected to fit in well with the team, then the prospective co-workers should also influence the perfect match.
That's right, Laura. Ideally, the co-workers' profiles should be matched as well. And although this is perfectly feasible, there are surprisingly few matching solutions out there that actually incorporate this. But it's definitely an interesting approach. With explainable matching software, you could even reverse engineer this. You can create a profile for the team based on their tasks and responsibilities as a collective, then use the matching for a gap analysis. Once you see the missing skills, experience, and other aspects, you can determine what qualities you should be looking for in a new team member.
That sounds awesome. So what's the catch?
Well, in a nutshell, because the problem is so complex, there's simply no one-size-fits-all algorithm. There's a big difference in matching a nurse or a kindergarten teacher, a marketing manager, or a picker-packer. So we need very different matchings based on the different activities, roles, occupations, surrounding teams, and company environment. This is why we use multiple approaches at JANS. And then there's the individual expectations for the outcome. Matching is driven by expectations, and expectations change constantly. So we can only evaluate all the factors as far as possible in order to best approximate the perfect match. But one thing is sure, the only way matching isolated data fragments through arbitrary keywords will produce the perfect match is by pure coincidence. It's like picking a candidate out of a hat, except that would at least be cheaper.
I think I'd prefer a good approximation.
Then you should go with a matching engine that considers all these factors we've been talking about in an appropriate way. Skills, experience, personality, and former job titles. If these criteria are properly interpreted and weighted appropriately, you'll get the best possible starting point to bring people and jobs together using technology.
You say weight appropriately, and what do you mean by that?
How much emphasis is put on the various criteria in the matching process? For instance, the more senior the position, the more important experience becomes. If we think about a career starter, then education or other criteria play a more important role. Hiring managers and recruiters generate varying sets of must-have and nice-to-have criteria depending on the specific position, and job seekers have their own preferences and requirements too.
So perspective matters in a matching too?
Yes, it's quite possible that a candidate thinks they are a good enough match for a position and are happy to apply for it, perhaps partly because the workplace is close to their home and they like the brand. It can look quite different from the perspective of the potential employer. They're interested in quality over quantity and want candidates that meet their requirements as closely as possible, which often doesn't include criteria like how long the candidate's commute is. When we perform comparative matching tests for POCs or benchmarking, clients often look at conversion metrics like, did this candidate actually apply for this position? But even a candidate that, looking at the job-related data we discussed, could be a perfect match from the employer's perspective, may not apply because of personal preferences, company branding, the later steps of the recruiting process like automated interviews or in-depth assessments, etc. So this is more a question of behavioral analysis and, in a sense, market research on the entire recruiting process. Matching, as we view it, is just one part of this.
Do you think possibly by extending the scope of the matching that this technology will replace recruiters anytime soon?
I imagine it'll be another few decades before these kinds of algorithms can identify the perfect hire on their own and truly replace the human element in the recruiting process. But I'm not sure that should even be the goal. Sure, you can reduce bias significantly if you go about it the right way, and machines tend to be faster and cheaper than humans, but do we really want machines to make hiring decisions for us? Decisions that affect people's lives to this extent? As far as we're concerned here at JANS, our technology isn't about getting rid of humans. It's about getting rid of mistakes. We simply want to enable more efficient, unbiased processes that help recruiters and hiring managers to make better decisions and people get the jobs that fit them best. No more and no less.
Thank you so much, Yahel. This ethical aspect is another super interesting topic in itself. We will be talking about that in an upcoming episode this season.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in for the next episode of our podcast. Goodbye.